Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Ship the Shore Radio. Radio.
waterfront mark.
It's early at home.
Chairs off the tables in the bar, it's a new dawn. I see the water in the bay, glisten and shine. In the distance I hear a tug's horn, let out a whine. Still whine. I walk up the street and the girls all give a pretty smile. Streets are wet from the night before another drop of storm. Homeless still scatter the doorway, sleeping it off. Work in Duval rewards a sidewalk and a bottle.
Island time is this life of mine.
glass to the other away. But I'll raise my glass to the other.
Good evening, everyone. This is for the last time, Captain Frankendread, not because I'm dying or going away any place, but you're listening to Ship to Shore Radio, right here in the Ship to Shore Radio Network. I said that because people have been kind of wondering the differences in names and things like that and how things go right here on the good ship to Shore Radio, and I thought tonight would be a good a time as any in this new year, 2012, to clear up some things and to play a little music and announce my hand-picked singer-songwriter of the year, who will be joining the network as a co-host coming up here really shortly. But in short, Captain Frankendread, at the end of this evening, will be no more. You'll be able to simply refer to me as Frankendread as Trusty First Mate Ken, who has been with the network for a year, although we started over on Key West Show, will be taking over the ship. And what that means is Frank and Jed will be around, of course, but of course. Here's the thing. When you have really good people around you, sometimes it's really, really good to allow them to flourish and shine and show exactly to the rest of the world the fun that they have. People never know what goes on behind the scenes. And behind the scenes here, I can tell you, we have a very nice staff of co-host producers and things of that such. I'm talking about Trusty First Mate Ken, and of course the person who came over first with me, Evil Rob. And also recently over, young Tyler Zinzer, also known as the Zen Man, who has a couple of shows and is coming on his own, and very quickly, I might add. Well, here's kind of the thing. See, it all started on Key West Show over a year ago. Gary Eck, who is the executive producer of Key West Show, had wanted me to come over to that particular station, Internet, which is stationed or based right in Key West, Florida. Kind of how it went was this. I was supposed to be the program director. And if anybody's familiar with English, program director means I was supposed to direct the programming. Well, sometimes that doesn't work when you work with a narcissistic person such as Gary Eck, or I can't remember all the names myself. Well, thing was, it was a decent ride at the very beginning, and I had three shows there, Vacation Radio from Paradise, and at the time it was called Flockers Gone Wild Ship to Shore Radio. And the reason Captain came up in the first place was, as I took over Flockers Gone Wild, there was, right in the midst of thing, had been a thorn that had been in my side for a long time. There was this fellow out in New Jersey calling himself Frankendread. Well, everybody who knows music, been around, knows that Frankendread is a name that I've had and owned since 1989. And rather than even go through all of the stuff, Gary suggested that I become Captain Frankendread. I said, all right, that's cool, let's roll with it. So we had this great characterization going the whole time. But the fact was, you cannot captain your own ship when you have infidels and other, like, individuals on the ship. And when a person gives up a ship, they have to step aside. And that also means when a person is given a job, they should be allowed to do that job. Why? Because in the first place, you never would have gotten it if you wanted a person to make things work out properly. Well, it didn't work out that way, and trudged on and on for months and months and months, and things were kind of cool. And then after a while, you just kind of get tired of some things. So rather than have an opportunity to set up a really, truly nice internet radio operation, the Key West Show, it became absolutely too much to bear to try to deal with the executive producer there. So I chose to start. First I took a break, and then I decided I would start my own network. Why? Because radio is a great passion in my life. It goes back some almost 30 years. And although I've had opportunities and situations on terrestrial radio in the past, that didn't factor into the fun that I thought that we'd be able to transport to all the listeners over at Key West Show. Well, unfortunately, it didn't happen, and after a while, professionally or even personally, you just reach that wall and you find that people are just too difficult to work with, and you just say enough is enough. So enough was enough. I came back to Key West Show just to do shows. I relinquished the title of program director since I wasn't being able to do anything to help the network out. So at that point, Dreaded Sports Talk was still there. I removed Vacation Radio from Paradise, and I didn't do any Shift of Show programs. Well, I came back, and through some good luck and grace, was able to land some very good guests again for Shift of Show Radio. Then I realized, you know, it's not about personalities. It's not about names. It's not about ranks. It's about one-on-one conversations and having fun and allowing oneself to imagine or feel or be underneath the sun being the bright side of life. And it just seemed the proper thing to do would be, rather than spend any more time at Key West Show, was the best way to let someone know what they missed is to show them what it could have been. So here we are right now, Shift to Show Radio. We've had some really good times. We've merged Dreaded Sports Talk over here. Have lots of great things coming on for this next year, and I'm also proud to announce we are going 24 hours. The thing is, I'm not going to tell you when it's going to happen because we don't know. I just know that it's going to happen. And in life, there has to be enough time for a person to kind of take a deep breath and to that end, to further allow myself not to be a micromanager or a narcissistic fool. I decided that first mate, and I do mean trusty first mate Ken, would take over the ship. And on the administrative end, Chris Page from Detroit, Michigan, will be running all of the other managers, all the other management issues and things of that sort on the admin end. And Evil Rob will take over all production. And young Tyler Zinser is, at this moment, probably out there beating the bushes, booking people and taking care of all those things. But I think he deserves an opportunity to learn the job of program director. So I think that's what's going to happen is by the end of the year, you'll see Tyler move into that position. Right now, he's just a nice, young, jolly fellow, and happy to know him. Age is not anything but a number, and it's been a good experience working with Tyler. He came from Key West Show, and now he's safely home at Shift to Shore Radio. One of the other funny things that happened was Chris Ream, he is not a radio host. He doesn't ascribe to do radio otherwise, but what he is one of the coolest and nicest fellows you ever want to meet. And once you get past all of that, you realize he's one heck of a songwriter. He put out a wonderful CD this year, which I definitely will bring up in a little bit as we play more cuts from it, but I started off the show with The Beach and then raised my glass to the Upper 48, which I will thank Gary Eck for turning me on to that particular cut early on. But Chris is joining the station as a co-host with myself, Frank and Dredd, as we ring in Conk Rock Radio. Yes, Conk Rock Radio. We will be doing shows, the two of us. We'll be encompassing all music that was either written in Key West or about Key West and a few other definitions, which you'll be able to find and you'll see going forward. But here's the thing. We're not going to do a show every week. We're going to do it when the mood hits us and when it feels really, really good. I think that's the best way to roll, and that's how we're going to do it. But strongly, I want to get the point across that the staff and individuals who make up Ship to Shore Radio are some of the finest individuals I've ever worked with. And I'm telling you, it doesn't matter, does not matter where you are, whether you're in the big time, as they say, or otherwise, when you have good people, those good people will always rise to the top if you allow them to. And I have to say that I'm very proud to have founded and be a part of a network where every individual is top grade, from Ken to Tyler to Evil Rob, to Chris and all those others, and I have to say Chris and Chris at this point. But Ship to Shore Radio, we are not pirate radio. We are pirates doing radio, and we're going to steal your ears by coming from my heart and doing things just the way it is. No pomp and circumstance. We don't need no stinking titles. The only thing I can say about Ken is he indeed is trusty, and he's having fun. That's the thing. Ship to Shore is about fun, and that's what we're going to do, have a whole heck of a lot of fun. And welcome into the year 2012. Again, for the last time, this is Captain Frank and Dredd coming your way, and I would like to play some more Chris Ream music. This first one is called Beautiful Day Down the Paradise Way, and followed by Cajun's Got a Coconut. We'll see you back in just about 9 minutes. Thanks for listening to Ship to Shore Radio. This is whatever you want to call me. Catch you back.
Skies are cloudy, rain's falling down. Thinking of you, wish you were in town. Silver drives ricochet high off a once busy street. And it's a beautiful day down Paradise Way in Key West. Down in the kitchen, coffee is brewing. On the stovetop, soup is stewing. All the while that rain keeps falling down. It's a beautiful day down Paradise Way in Key West. Rain keeps falling, the night falls far from the day. And while I'm texting kisses through drops they are missing, they head so far away. Far away. And it's a beautiful day down Paradise Way in Key West. Thank you.
Cajun's Got a Coconut, and before that you heard A Beautiful Day Down Paradise Way, which every day in Key West is a beautiful day, even though I keep reading on Facebook how a few people are saying how it's so cold. Let me tell you, no, I won't, about cold. Here's the thing. This particular year, as far as game changers have occurred, I would have to say that Chris's CD absolutely is a game changer for the tropical world, because I would venture to say that it most definitely captured the essence of conk rock. So look forward a little bit later on this particular year and not too far down the line, where Chris and I will start the process of having shows in the name of Conk Rock Radio, where with Chris and I, there's no telling how long the show will go on, and we can't tell you when it will happen, but we know it's going to happen. Thanks for listening to Ship to Shore Radio. And we're going to play a little bit more by Chris before we're out on this particular day. But, yeah, so here we are. We're no longer on Key West Show. And, yeah, I'm sorry, Gary. Yes, I did delete you from my Facebook account, because sometimes you just want the clouds to go away. So the clouds are gone. And here we are on Ship to Shore Radio, and we don't see any clouds or anything blocking our passage to where we're headed. And that is to a whole lot of fun. Guys, thanks for your support. And I'm looking forward to going on down the line even further with nothing but smiles and grassy fields ahead. And Evil Rob, I got to tell you, my partner in crime, it has been a very good time this past year and starting to really get to know you. And everyone knows Rob Phillips may be evil, but I'm just plain sick. Yeah, and the thing is, on Ship to Shore Radio going forward, there is no telling whatsoever what type of music you're going to hear, because I really like a lot of different things. And before I go out as Captain Frankendred, let me hit you with a couple things that I really like. I'm talking about like this first one. This, you might have heard of the Hasidic Jewish reggae rapper by the name of Modest Yahoo. I think I'm going to jump right in there and play King Without a Crown. That's what this little ditty's called, And I'm called Frankendred.
You're all that I have and you're all that I need. Each and every day I pray to get to know you. Please wanna be close to you. Yes, I'm so hungry. You're like water for my soul when it gets thirsty. Without you, there's no me or the air that I breathe. Sometimes the world is dark and I just can't see. With these demons around all around, I believe it. I'm too negative, but I believe, yes, I believe, I said I believe. healing a one Mashiach now. Time it starts a beating. What's this feeling? My love will be falling a ceiling. I give myself to you from the essence of my being and I sing to my God. Songs of love and healing, I want Mashiach now. Listen away the layers and reveal your soul. You got to give yourself up and then you become whole. You're a slave to yourself and them don't even know. Them mother said it's a bad life, but your brain won't flow. You're trying to say hi, bound to say low. You want God, but you can't deflate your ego. You're already there, then there's nowhere to go. Your cup's already full, then it's bound to overflow. If you're drowning in the waters and you can't stay afloat, ask your gem for mercy. He'll throw you a rope, you're looking for help from God. Then you couldn't be found, searching up to that sky, looking beneath the ground. Like a king without his crown, you'll keep falling down. And really want to live by trying to get rid of your crown. You're trying to reach on to the heights and run down, bound on the ground. Giving up your pride, then you heard a sound. Out of sight comes day, out of day comes light. And I fly to the one light, the light in the rain. Making room for his love and a fire gun blaze. Make room for his love and a fire gun blaze. What's this feeling? My love will be falling and healing. I give myself to you from the essence of my beginning. I sing to my God. Songs of love and healing, I want Mashiach now. Time it starts a beating. What's this feeling? My love will be falling and healing. I give myself to you from the essence of my beginning. I sing to my God. Songs of love and healing, I want Mashiach now.
Yeah. that's the way Jah wants it. I'm telling you, yes, yes, that's the way Jah wants it to be. You got the birds in the sky and the fishes in the sea, and me and you, brother, we're gonna have to learn to love one another, one another. So come on, let's live and share this world together, and everything, everything will be alright. So come on and live and share this world together, and everything, everything, everything will be alright. Gonna be alright. Jah wants it this way. We're gonna be this way together. Peace and harmony. We're gonna live, 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 live so good together, together in peace and harmony. No feeling, no feeling, no feeling at
by Modest Yahoo, King Without a Crown, and then I followed that up with my favorite reggae singer. I didn't say reggae artist, I said a reggae singer. That is Jacob Miller and his piece, This World, which, you know what? They say that time repeats itself or history does. Well, it certainly has, because what he's singing there is certainly appropriate this time, you know? People ought to love one another a little bit better. They really should. People just on your cloud, you know what I mean? Your cloud nine, you didn't ask them there, and there's just no hope for them, then you need to dispel them. So that's the thing I have to say to everyone is do the best you can to get everyone to understand that you're your own man, your own woman, and you're just enjoying life, and there's no reason for them to come and spoil the fun. So don't let them. I tell you, though, this year that just started, I understand Chris Green is also starting to record a new CD. I'm talking of Key West Chris, also known as the Key West Weatherman. If you guys go to Facebook and catch him at Key West Chris Music on Facebook, and, well, you know, just put in Key West Chris, you'll find him. And this music will somehow find itself into the mainstream, too, before you know it. I do know that. But his CD, Shanghai to Maroon and Key West, Things Could Be Worse, was excellent. And in fact, Shift to Shore Radio has decided at least Captain Frankenstein has, that is, to me, the most significant recording of 2011 in the Trop community. I know, I'm going to catch flack for that, but I'm going to tell you right now. Listen up, folks. We're talking about music that is different. It's wonderful, the songwriting. You look at the production, Danny Simpson and everyone else, and the fact it emanates from Key West, and what you have is an unbelievably good time. And again, that's what we strive to have here at Ship to Shore Radio. As I was saying earlier, this is the last time you will be hearing me broadcast as Captain Frankenstein. The rank is being retired as it is time to pass the ship on to Trusty First Mate Ken, who has been an exemplary first mate for over a year. And I just noticed that he came into the green room as we prepare to do another show in about 16 minutes or whatever the heck we get to it. But Ken, I got to say to you, man, this has been one of the most exciting years in terms of having fun on radio. I mean, it all started when we were on Key West Show and you called up and we had this conversation about this sporting topic, and about a month later, you were calling in every week, and next thing I said, I really like this guy, and here we are over a year later, and we're still hanging in there, and turns out, through all of that, that you're one of the greatest Trop lovers of music that I've run into in a long time. Man, how long have you been listening to the Trop music?
Oh, maybe 6-7 years, approximately 6-7 years. The first show I ever saw, first band I ever saw, Trop Rock band, was Jim Morrison, the Big Bamboo Band. I was actually listening to Radio Margaritaville, and They were playing a live show of his from, I'm not even sure where it was from, and I listened to it, and I go, wow, this sounds pretty good. So I started, you know, going online, researching it, and I saw he was playing a few months after that, a show in New Jersey here at a club called Kathmandu. So I went and I checked that out and been listening to him and a lot of other people ever since. And I try and get to as many Trop Rock shows as I can. When I'm down in Florida, I have access to a lot more. Up here, it's kind of, I wouldn't say hit or miss, but it's either a big show, a whole big production, or nothing. We're down in Florida, you have a lot of, you can go weekly to the Navigator and a number of other places and see these artists on a regular basis. Up here, it's kind of like I said, like a big show. Our Parrothead Club up here, the Coastal Jersey Parrothead Club, has a lot of these guys up here. In fact, our friend John Friday is up here again, for Spring Fling. He'll be up here in end of April. We got Tall Paul up here for our club Mardi Gras with Jimmy and the Parrots coming up in February.
Yeah, and the thing is, there are quite a few shows in Florida. In fact, the first week of March, there is Music on the Bay. I suppose you heard about it.
Yes.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to make it down for that, are you?
I'll be down 2 weeks after that.
We'll miss each other. John Helms III, he heavily suggested that I show up in Tampa during that weekend, so I think I'm going to do that, hang out around the Living Like a Pirate booth and just enjoy the music. And which, speaking of music, again, the funny thing is when I decided that you were definitely a trusty first mate, the thing that through the time of this last year that I really realized, not only you're just a good guy all the way around, but the spirit that you've always had, even when we were over at Key West Show and we had to deal with that evil dictator who's, I don't know, has gone mad, but the point is, the one thing you always said to me was, last night was fun, or last week was fun, and it kept weighing on me, fun. It's fun. And I realized, we can't have fun over there. So we we upped and moved and took all the sporting shows with us and have a very good show called Ship to Shore, in which which I usually interview a lot of artists and things in the chop world, authors, the whole nine yards, and brought in a bunch of your buddies, and I see you are planning to bring in some very nice artists and things this next year. In fact, I wanted to tell you, I did have some communication with Danny Hoy, and it looks like we're going to get her in here sometime in the near future.
Yeah, I chat with her on Facebook quite often, and she's working on a new CD. In fact, she's back in the studio now as we speak, and it should be out maybe end of February, early March.
And the thing is, when you're in trap music, it's usually sometimes on island time. We all have plans to get things out, and it takes us time, which leads me to this. Well, I'd be remiss in mentioning that on January the 17th, we're going to have Gary Phillips in, one of your buddies as well.
He's going to be on, yes.
Yeah, I was looking forward to that because not only is he doing Ship to Shore, but he's going to do the signature sports program also, I believe. He does a lot of refereeing and things with kids and all of that, and that's commendable. But, man, he has some really good music, and we'll get a chance to share all of that. I mean, it should be as much fun as we had with John Friday and Jimmy Pappas and Richie from Young Rebel Gomez. Those were really good times. We're all multi-talented. We all know... We all know how to play music, some of us, and we also know how to take our thumbs and change from channel to channel to find good sporting events, too, to get away from the fray. Ken, you're amazing. Ken is like the world's greatest fantasy sports player because it doesn't matter if it's baseball or otherwise, he certainly uses that as a way to relax. Well,
yeah, now I'm kind of sad now because it's over now. I have to wait till I'm in a fantasy hockey league, but baseball and football are the two big ones. I kind of do this just to pass the time between the end of the football season and the start of spring training and baseball.
Yeah, you're lucky too. You have a wife who's also a sports fan.
Yeah, she likes the. She'll watch on TV, but she likes to be there in person. We'll go all sorts of baseball games in the summer between the Trenton Thunder up here, which is the Yankee Double-A team. When we're down in Florida, we go see the Twins Single-A team over in Fort Myers. Plus we'll go see the Twins. We have our trip planned for this spring training for 8 days. We'll be down there. Going to catch probably 3 games that week. Actually, we're going to the Enemies Park one day. We're going to the Red Sox new park called JetBlue Park. It's an 11,000-seat mini replica of Fenway Park. It's just going to open. This will be the first season there'll be any games there. The office people are moving in now, and this will be the inaugural season there. So we got tickets to see the Twins and the Red Sox there on March 19th.
You know, it'd be cool, too, if we somehow ended up on the Jersey Shore the same weekend, too, going forward, because I know that's another good thing to pass the time and to add fun and excitement, and you can call it a distraction or whatever, but I know that you're not too far from the shore as well.
Actually, I'll be down there. That's where our club's Mardi Gras party is going to be with Tall Paul and Jimmy and the Parrots at the Sawmill in Seaside the second week, actually the Saturday after the Super Bowl, the 11th of February.
Make sure you write it down. Go ahead, the second week of February, you said.
February 11th, it's 4 o'clock at the Sawmill in Seaside Heights, right on the beach, right on the boardwalk.
Cool. I must say thank you very much for having called in the first time, Ken. And at this particular, I would like to say it's incredibly wonderful to tell you that what I've learned is you're a quality individual, and I am actually going to pass over the ship to you on this evening. The captain will retire as Frank and Dread goes back into the music fold and goes out into the fray, as they say, because there's so many artists and so many things and all of that, but I think you've earned the right to not have the title of first mates. You can call yourself anything you want going forward, and we'll work all that out later. But I got to tell you, I'm very honored to have spent this radio time with you, as you've helped teach me to have more fun on radio and also outside of radio.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. So at this point, I want to say that the ship is now in the hands of Ken at the end of this evening, and so it shall be. And we're going to take a two-week break. Well, actually, it's a one-week break from this particular program. But Dreaded Sports Talk will continue every week. And one of the things we've also enjoyed doing is bringing in Evil Rob, who has been a part of our crew. He's actually been the main set, myself and Ken and Evil, for quite some time. And we've been enjoying having guests, special guest hosts and stuff, too. And young Tyler, man, he's a hardworking guy and pretty cool. He, you know, he beat us last week on our predictions on top of it all. That's a bitter pill to swallow. Yeah, so it is what it is, though. But to that end, my good friend, I wanted to play some music that we had talked about, but that's the thing I like about being over here on our own network, because you know what, all of us, this is our labor of love. This is what we enjoy, and no matter how many shows, no matter how many programs and how many hours we're on the air, it doesn't matter. I really like everyone we're working with. You know, there's no negativity here, and that's a good thing.
Yeah,
because it is. Like, yes, indeed. And, well, as we are nearing time for our signature sports program, I wanted to say, everyone, thanks for listening to Ship to Shore Radio, because, you know, it's been great playing new music that people might not have heard and bringing to you also a lot of artists that you might have wanted to know personal things about or otherwise, because we certainly have turned people on to stuff that they might not have known about artists. like John Friday. And in fact, as we end today's show, I'm going to leave everyone with Tropical Eyes. See you on the other side of the hour. Thanks for listening to Ship to Shore Radio. This is now Frank and Dread with the new commander-in-chief for the ship, trusty Ken from Jersey. We'll see you guys on the other side of the hour.
I'm sitting here drinking a beer in a tiki bar. Really don't think I'm gonna get too far today. Sun is dancing all across the bay right now, and I ain't getting off this bar stool before the sun goes down. It took a while to get here, but not long for me to know. I'm gonna ride those salty breezes just as far as I can go. Gotta take life easy, 'cause it's too short to take it hard. I realize I've been tropicalized. Whoa, I realize I've been tropicalized. There's a lady in the corner sitting all alone, and the band's playing music that is sweet and slow. I'm gonna buy her a drink, I'm gonna ask her to dance. I'm feeling too good not to take this chance. It took a while to get here, but not long for me to know. I'm gonna ride those salty breezes just as far as I can go. Gonna take life easy, 'cause it's too short to take it hard. I realize I've been tropicalized. Whoa, I realize I've been tropicalized. think it's time to be a beach bum. I think it's time to have some fun. Just pour yourself a cup of spiced rum and hang out in that tropic sun. Just listen while those steel drums play. It's a barefoot party every day. Then I toast the sunset with my island girl. I'm never going back to the real world. It takes a while to get here, but not long before you know you're gonna ride those salty breezes just as far as you can go. You gotta take life easy, 'cause it's too short to take it hard when you realize you've been tropicalized. Whoa, when you realize you've been tropicalized. Whoa, whoa, when you realize you've been tropicalized.
Listening to Ship the Shore Radio. 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 It's time for
Dreaded Sports Talk.
Welcome to Dreaded Sports Talk. This is Frank and Dredd, and I'm proud, very proud to say that the new year has started, and we're just hanging out, myself and trusty first mate Ken from Jersey. We're waiting on Evil Rob. He shall be in at any moment. I don't know exactly when, but it doesn't matter because we are totally on island time here. Really, we're just on this thing where we'll get to it when we do because it's time. Yeah, so it's, I don't know where you are in the part of the world right now, but it certainly is getting kind of chilly in some parts for some people. Personally, I don't want to hear anyone talk about the cold because you know that last year I had a little bit of chilly weather to endure, but I'm not having to this time. In fact, we're going to chill out just a little bit longer. We'll be right back.
Punctuality, dysfunction. Punctuality, dysfunction. The boss said,
how do you run an errand for me?
I said,
of course I will.
I was feeling irate. I said, no problem, man. I'll take it there. I'll be leaving in a while. So I stopped at home to get some tunes for the cat. I found my cat was thirsty, the dog wanted out. There was so much to do, it slowed me down. I got a bit behind, and now I'm running, running, running.
Jamaican time. Running, running, running on Jamaican time. I said, now come on, come on, come on. No need to hurry now. 'Cause I'm running, running, running on Jamaican time. It's going to be fun. Whoa. Why you always run behind? Whoa, 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 whoa. Got a slow clock in my mind. It's just a punctuality dysfunction. Punctuality dysfunction. So I left my house at 2:03. I put on Easy Skank and Bonnet by my lady. Easy Skank and Walla la 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 la. Easy Skank. Take it easy. Lord, now take it easy.
Oh no!
Well, I don't know what I'm gonna do. 'Cause I should have been there at 1:45. I gotta get there quick. The traffic's thick. I'll never make it now. And now I'm running, running, running on Jamaican time. Running, running, running on Jamaican time. I said, now come on, come on, come on. No need to hurry now. 'Cause I'm running, running, running on Jamaican time. It's going to be fun. Whoa. Why you always run behind? Whoa, whoa, whoa. Got a slow clock in my mind. I got the punctuality dysfunction. Punctuality dysfunction. When I got there promptly at 2:40, there was a note that said,
call your boss immediately.
As I dialed the phone, I sent to myself, here we go again.
He told me,
there must be some sort of explanation for giving me all of this aggravation. You better not be a fabrication.
Oh no, sir.
And now I'm running, running, running on Jamaican time. Running, running, running on Jamaican time. I said, now come on, come on, come on. No need to hurry now. 'Cause I'm running, running, running on Jamaican time. It's going to be fun. Whoa. Why you always run behind? Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa. Got a slow clock in my mind. I got this punctuality. Punctuality dysfunction.
You're listening to Dreaded Sports Talk on the Dreaded Sports Talk Network.
Network.
Hey, oh, we all know it's a good time. Sing along now. Hey, oh, let's
I'm on. This is Frank and Dredd, and this is Dreaded Sports Talk, and I'm hanging out with what seems like the world's greatest fantasy league player and trusty first mate Ken, who has assumed command of the good ship to shore radio, you know? And also, it's good to hang out with Evil Rob. And sure enough, he was just on Jamaican time this evening. What's going on, guys?
Not much. Just watching the Sugar Bowl here, which is kind of boring, but it's still football.
Yeah, exactly, and it's Michigan football nonetheless.
I somehow knew you were going to say something like that, and this is kind of weird. I mean, there's good news and bad news for us to talk about this tonight, you know? Like, you two guys, staunch Giants fans, oh my gosh. I mean, I had asked you, Ken, during the first half, did you see what happened? Did you see what happened, what's going to occur? I mean, wow. We'll talk about turning momentum.
I thought the Giants would have a decent game. I thought Romo's hand was hurt more than they were letting on to, but apparently he was okay. He wasn't as bad as I thought. I didn't think they'd jump out to that lead, but when that second half, when they started creeping back, I'm thinking, no, this can't be happening. But Romo showed his true colors down the stretch, and again, another loss. I think they have one playoff win in the last 12 years or some stat like that. They just, when it gets to the big games, you just can count them choking.
Well, Romo didn't have that bad of a game. He had like 260-something yards passing. He had two touchdowns, and, I mean, he did throw one pick, and that only led to a field goal. But, I mean, Romo wasn't the issue. The issue was the offensive line for the Cowboys came out completely flat, and the Giants' defense just manhandled them. I mean, you know, Tuck and Pierre Paul and Umanure just had field days. Plus, the Dallas secondary was just horrible. They could high school quarterbacks could throw touchdown passes against them, let alone Eli Manning. So it was just, I didn't see it happening. You know, I've been picking Dallas. I have to apologize to everybody out there, all the Dreaded Sports fans out there that, you know, I screwed the pooch on Dallas this year, and they choked. Wow, and I'll tell you right now, I'm happy about it.
Yeah.
I guess so. You just had to cook your cake and decided to eat it too, you know. But anyway, from like the fourth, Ken, wasn't it like the third or fourth week, he'd raise our eyebrows. All of a sudden, he was like, oh, wait on now. Wait 1 second. I think the Cowboys, I was very shocked. How could you do that? And see, that's what you get for going against your team. And it's my fault, too. I screwed the pooch myself. I picked the Bears to lose Sunday. Look what happened.
Well, you know, Cap, this was all like a ruse of mine. I was rooting for the Cowboys to put a jinx on them.
Oh, sure you were, but you know what? That's all right.
Did you notice that from like the beginning of the third quarter straight through the end of the game, you know how they always pan up to the box and you see Jerry Jones up there?
Yeah.
I don't know where he was hiding, but he must not have been up in that box, because that camera, unless I happened to miss it, I was only left the room once, I didn't see them look up to his box up there and you know, try and get his reaction. We saw in the past he's always up there, you know, waving his fist, or, I mean, sometimes they'll show him, like, after they've lost, and he's like, oh, Jesus. He must have just, like, went and hid someplace where he was at a camera site.
Well, I would have, too, if I was him.
Yeah.
I had no doubt that you guys, when they did cut the camera to him, it was the most inopportune time. The dude was, like, picking his teeth. Oh, man. He said, I guess we're going to eat defeat one more time. But, yeah, Victor Cruz, who saw that coming this year?
Wow, when they said he was going to be in the mix as one of their receivers, I'm thinking, oh, God, you know. I never heard of this guy. I mean, I shouldn't say I never heard of him, because when he was in high school at Patterson Catholic High School, I actually worked there for a year, one of the years that he was there.
Wow.
I don't remember him. I remember a lot of the guys from the football team, because they had a very good football program. They played in the Catholic, the parochial, I forgot what they called it. Basically, all other Catholic schools. They were like perennial state champions. But Actually, the school's closed now. It just closed last year, which I didn't know. I actually Googled Victor Cruz while I was watching the game, and it mentioned Patterson Catholic, and it said Patterson Catholic closed last year.
I didn't know that either. Wow, but I did know about Victor Cruz last year because he was an up-and-coming star, and he was one of the guys that was kind of like a highly sought-after undrafted free agent before the season last year. And the Giants picked him up, and then he had the season-ending injury in the preseason and never played it down. So this year when the Giants lost Steve Smith, I was looking at it saying, okay, well, Cruz will be in the mix, and it'll be okay because, you know, Nix and Manningham will pick it up, and Cruz will just be that fill-in guy. Well, Cruz turned out to be the all-star because Nix just turned into stone hands and couldn't catch anything down the stretch. So, you know, when Cruz is third in the league in receiving yards, behind Calvin Johnson and Wes Welker, there's something to be said about that. That's an amazing story. I just hope he's not a one-hit wonder like Miles Austin.
I almost forgot Miles Austin was playing. I said that to my buddy. I was watching the game, and they mentioned his name. I go, oh, geez, I forgot he was even on the team because his name wasn't even mentioned. It was like he was invisible.
Yeah.
I thought he was on the bench with Santonio Holmes. I didn't know where he was.
You know, thing about Victor Cruz when he was hurt, you can't help but wonder, you know, did they turn him into the Bionic Man? Because when he turned right and flew up the sideline, he was gone. They weren't going to catch him, and he seemed to just keep getting faster. I mean, it left me in awe how much speed he had.
Oh, he's incredibly fast. It's absolutely amazing how quick this guy is. Because the Dallas corners and safeties, the secondary there, they're not slow guys. And he just outran them. He just was putting distance on them. It was great. But here's a little trivia question for you. Two quarterbacks in the NFL this year threw 99-yard touchdown pass. Who were they?
Eli Manning?
I'm trying to think who the other one was.
Yeah, it just happened not too long ago.
Eli's happened last week against the Jets. The other one happened, I think, in week 4 or 5.
As long as it's not John Beck, that would definitely kill me.
I don't know.
I'll give you a hint. It's not John Beck or Rex Grossman.
Oh, wow. That leaves a lot to be desired in terms of options. You mean, wait a minute. You didn't mean a 99-yard interception for a touchdown that Grossman probably threw, right?
No, one quarterback had two of those, and that was Grossman. No, it was a 99-yard touchdown pass to his own team. I should have made that clear.
You know what, out.
It's what do you guess?
No, I'm saying out with it.
Out with it?
Who is it?
Tom Brady to Wes Welker.
Uh-huh.
So that just proves right there that Eli Manning was right. He is in the same league as Tom Brady because they're the only two quarterbacks this year to throw a 99-yard touchdown pass.
Yeah, not to mention they're both in the playoffs, so if they get put out in the same round, you can say the same thing. I haven't seen Eli's wife, but I don't think he's in the same class with Brady on that one.
No, not many people are.
Yeah, I don't know how I didn't know that. That was week 4?
It was 4 or 5 that happened. It was early. It was like a busted play. It was just like a little flip pass that Brady was just backpedaling in the end zone. It was a little flip pass to Welker, and he just took off, and no one was around him.
Yeah, you know what, though? I just don't see how the Patriots could possibly win the Super Bowl. They just don't have a defense for it. And Cam, you mentioned this on Facebook. Goodness gracious. Who was it, Oregon and someone else? No, it was the Baylor game, was it, where they had like 69, 68, 67 points. It was incredible. What's wrong with people? What happened to defense?
They should have just shut the headsets down for the both defensive coordinators and told them to go home. But Washington and Baylor, Washington made one or two mistakes where they didn't score. Otherwise, it was just Baylor scored Washington a long play, not, you know, time-consuming drives. They were just, like, throwing a lot of runs, just busting up the middle and not being touched till you're in the end zone. It was incredible. These are Division I schools. You know, that was like a freaky high school game that you see. That wasn't even like – I just couldn't believe what I was watching. These can't be Division I defenses.
Yeah. You know what, though? What's really, I'll tell you something else that's killing me, too, is in the pros, even the scoring, I know they made those changes to make the games more high-flying and all of that, and they're protecting the quarterback to the fact that they might as well issue them pantyhose instead of anything else to wear. I don't know, but the scores were so high up, and where there were four games where teams scored 45 points, it used to be to score 35 was a significant victory, but now they're putting 45 on people like it's nothing.
Yeah, the scores have been... Look at that the Packers and the Lions. They each had over 500 yards of total offense.
That's been, and Matthew Stafford had over 500. Of course, Calvin Johnson had 244 or something, 264. But that guy, not to jump ahead of ourselves, but, man, for you guys, and even if it's the Dallas Giants game, what was the most exciting game for you this weekend?
Mine was definitely the Green Bay-Detroit game, because that was just, you know, there's something to be said about a 3-0 defensive battle, because, like, the Denver and Kansas City had, but at the same time, a shootout like that, even though there's no defense going, it's just an awe to watch how these the offenses can actually pick apart the defenses and how the tide could change in the NFL from, you know, running game, you know, run and shoot deep, or not run and shoot, but just pound and ground deep or offense and staunch defense, where defense wins championships. Now, defense probably won't win a championship this year. It's probably going to be whoever can score the most damn points.
It does sound that way. Wow. I mean, like Ken, I know you caught that right away. It's just like, wow. I mean, really? I'm surprised someone didn't put 60 on someone this year, and it could have happened. They called off the dogs. Speaking of calling off the dogs, I thought they were doing that with Green Bay, but good gosh. Flynn, good word. He deserves to be a starting quarterback somewhere.
That was another thing. Nobody's really made much of a say about this, but there was a video on ESPN and CBS Sportsline where Dominican Sue is – he sacked Flynn, and he did like that little, the little dance that Rogers does. The one they make fun of in the commercial, the discount double check.
Yes.
Right. And he's sitting there doing, he sacked Flynn, and he's doing that dance. And I'm thinking, are you an idiot or what? You just gave up 45 points to the second team quarterback. They just put up over 500 yards against your defensive unit. And you're dancing because you finally got to the quarterback. I'm like, this guy just doesn't learn, you know?
Yeah. Oh well, he won't learn. He's too young and he's too stupid right now because he's too emotionally into himself, not the game and his team. But the one thing that game did for me, it basically told me that Aaron Rodgers is no longer the MVP of the league because anybody can quarterback that team to 5 touchdowns and 45 and 50 points.
Yeah, you may be right on that, but I want to go back to Ndamukong Suh because they're all lucky. At least he didn't dance on his arm. You saw what he did when he shot. That's pretty wild. But there's been some coaches who have been told to get their dancing shoes and get out of there. Morris and Spagnuolo, and I've noticed the Pullians are gone from the Colts now. That was surprising. But and I think Jerry Angelo for the Bears got sacked for the same reason. They failed to bring in a good backup quarterback, and that hurt both teams tremendously. I think that was a major reason they both were fired.
Well, there aren't many teams out there that have good backup quarterbacks. I can't even think of one true, real backup quarterback in the NFL.
No, I have to say you may be right the way things are now, and I don't get it. As much as there seems to be more injuries than ever, and they don't seem to care about getting a backup quarterback, but I knew Houston was in trouble when I saw across the ticker that Jake Delhomme was the quarterback warming up, so oh gosh.
Well, I think Yates is going to be okay to play. I thought I saw that today. Delhomme hadn't played in ages, and the other guy they just signed, Jeff Garcia. Between the two of them, they got to be about 80.
Yeah, at home, I think, is getting ready for Mardi Gras. It's like he's drunk. I don't know, man. It's crazy stuff going on. But Mike March, speaking about quarterbacks and stuff, Mike March is not going to be back for Chicago. And I got to say, man, that's disturbing. This is the fourth offensive system that Jay Cutler will have to have learned in a span of 5 years. That's how's the guy going to – he just – well, then again, you know what? This is what people don't know behind the scenes. This year, he just decided, I'm not taking this anymore. So he basically went to Lovie Smith, and they both went to Martz, and Martz had to change his offense. And why would you have an offense where the starting quarterback gets 100% of snaps and there's absolutely no room for anyone else because you're constantly adding stuff, and then the quarterback goes out, he has no chance. McCown was just lucky because he ran that offense some other place. But good, man, good grief, really? But he's gone now. I don't know. Maybe he's going to show up as coach of a flag football team. I don't know. He's done. He's done. Spagnuolo, where do you think he's going to land?
They actually
as
a head coach. They said he could maybe the Eagles as a defensive coordinator, or possibly back with the Giants. That's what it was on WFAN a couple days ago. They mentioned that because they knew his days were numbered. They were. Francesco was going over some possibilities with some writer from the Daily News, and those were the two places that they thought he would possibly end up.
Yeah, if the Giants have a really poor showing in the playoffs, if they get destroyed by Atlanta, if there's a big problem there, or they don't go deep, then I think Perry Fuel's gone and Spagnuolo's back with the Giants. If not, I agree, the Eagles, and I could even see him go into the Jets. But I think he's going to stay local in the – he's going to come back to the Northeast because this is where his family's at.
Well, that may be true, but also just because he made it to the playoffs – Depending on the showing, well, Spagnuolo, I would never think they'd hire him as a head coach. That's just me. Stranger things have happened, but if the Giants don't do well in the playoffs, I'm just thinking maybe Coughlin might hire him to save his own behind. Well, Coughlin, he's not going to do anything to save his own behind. He's sure that he doesn't need saving. But Spagnuolo, I see him, if he goes to the Giants, then I would say that the job that Tom Coughlin's job is safe. As far as the Eagles, I said this all year, especially when it looked like Spagnuolo probably was going to get fired. I kept saying he'd be perfect for the Eagles, but then their defensive coordinator, he used to teach offensive line, they got their act together towards the end. So it could be a thing where they say, well, you know what, we showed marked improvement, the whole team did. Let's see what we can do when everyone's on the same page. I don't know. But that's just I'm looking at it. Oh,
yeah.
Man,
I could also see
him
going to New England because New England desperately needs a rework of that defense, and that's Spagnuolo's bread and butter.
But will he be able to coach well with and you know who? Bill Belichick.
Well, he used to coach Belichick in New York. Boom, Belichick was an assistant in New York, so was Spagnuolo before he was defensive coordinator. So
I just hope he doesn't go to Dallas. I like watching Rob Ryan, stomp around the sideline when this defense gets scored on.
I don't even feel like I've gained any weight after watching that dude. He's got he doesn't have a six pack. He doesn't have a keg. He has a whole friggin' beer truck on his stomach.
he's a big guy. He's got that scraggly hair. He doesn't fit like the coach's image. You know how they try and look. Like, I'm surprised Jerry Jones lets him look like that on the sideline. He seems to be like he's into image and, like Tom Landry, who used to wear the hat and the suit, these the old-time guys, This guy looks like he just got done at a
beer
softball league.
He looks like he just ate the old-time guys.
I tell you, a little bad. Talking about looking bad, we have to talk about it. Tim Tebow, man, but it's just been ugly on top of ugly and got even the ugliest. I don't know what's going to happen this weekend, which, by the way, I just want to mention this to you, Evil, and I'm sure you're on top of it, but Virginia Tech is winning by 2 field goals.
Thanks for that, Kevin. I appreciate the update.
And they're actually they're on the move.
They're
missing at 13-yard line. First and 10 and 13.
Yeah, so I just thought I'd throw that into you. And Ken, Penn State got slaughtered yesterday. I thought I'd throw that in.
Yeah.
But Illinois won.
Actually, in my the college bowl pool that I'm in, I actually took Houston.
Oh, okay.
But that was the only damn game I won yesterday. I was riding high. I was up in the leaders in this pool going into yesterday, and then I was 1-5 yesterday. It was a bad bowl day.
You, the person who had the wisdom to pick Drew Brees, who is
the best fantasy quarterback in history, to go along with Arian Foster, Jones Drew, and Wes Welker.
Well, it's not much people can say about this at this exact moment. But what I can say at this exact moment is we'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to Dreaded Sports Talk on the Dreaded Sports Talk Network.
Sorry, we're back already. I just had to open up the beer. All right. So that being said, I didn't delve too far into Tim Tebow because the less we talk about him, the more the kid can just keep getting better and just see what happens. I think, in fact, people should just shut up and leave him alone. That's what I think. And I'll tell you who should
shut up. 4th-and-1 from the 5-yard line, they didn't get it.
Oh, boy. You sound like that guy in the commercial with the girlfriend and he's getting updates on his phone when he's lying to it. So we know where your head is this evening.
Yeah, but I ain't banging either of you.
And then another funny occurrence is that the Chargers, they kept both Turner and Smith. Come on, really? Chargers go. I don't know,
They do the same thing every year. They make a late run. He saves his job, but then they finish either just out of the playoffs or they squeak in and get destroyed in the first round.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
they really didn't make a late run this year. They had an early run and kind of fell apart.
Yeah. They still had a chance until that Lion game in the next to the last week, and this got taken apart in that game.
Yeah, that was a debacle.
I really thought the 49ers were going to beat the Rams by more, but they didn't. But the fact is they won. 13-3, that's your coach of the year right there. It is not Mike McCarthy.
Well, they had a big lead in that game. I think they just got a little, turned it down a little bit. And the Rams actually hit a couple plays. I think they had a defensive turnover. They started squeaking back into that game, and I think they got a little nervous at the end, but they had enough to hold on. Virginia Tech just got stopped on the 4-yard line. It was 4th-and-1, and Michigan stopped them.
Yeah, and that's Virginia Tech. They're a pretty good ball club every year. They, as far as college teams, you can count on them being fairly decent every year, I think.
Yeah, they're never poor. Right. They're always. They're always very competitive. I can't remember the last time they were below 500 or even close to 500.
That's what I'm saying. They've at least, I think the worst, they were 8-4 one year or something. That was a very bad year for them. Talk about a bad year, though. The Colts, man, 2-14. But they still get, so isn't that funny? Now that the season's over, that's the suck-for-luck thing is over, and now the Colts, next bit of discussions are going to be, what are they going to do? What are they going to do? Well, no, what would you do if it were up to you, Evil?
I would definitely draft Luck because, one, there's no telling how long Peyton is going to be playing for. He's literally one hit from his career being over with. And you need a quarterback that can step in, and obviously the Colts don't have that. And even if Peyton doesn't get a career-ending injury in the next couple of years, he's only got maybe 2 years left in him anyway. So let Luck sit behind Peyton for a year or two, if that. Draft him, and you have your quarterback of the future.
I would do the same thing. Let him, as long as they can work it out salary cap-wise, I don't know what he's going to want as a first-round pick. But like they did with Rodgers, he sat behind Brett Favre, and you learned. Learned from one of the best ever. So you got to, if you can do it salary cap-wise, you know, without killing the rest of the team, because they need other people. Defensive help is a number one thing on the list. I mean, they have some decent receivers. Richie Wayne's getting a little old, but still play. Garcon, Austin Colley. The defense is the side of the ball they really got to work on. I mean, Manning wasn't there, but Manning didn't play defense, and they gave up some big scores. Although they toned it down, he played a lot better in the second half of the year. But if you can afford it salary cap wise, you draft him and let him learn.
Well, I just know Austin Colley. I think he dogged it this year. I know. That was piss poor. That's why I listed no last, because that was The Steelers now, I'm going to tell you, you must look out for the Steelers. As long as they have, well, Clark's not playing this week, but as long as the Steelers, this is Steeler time, playoffs. You never know what's going to happen with them. What do you think the chances are getting to the AFC Championship game?
I mean, they could. They don't have Mendenhall. He's out. He tours ACL. So now you got Redmond as their feature back. But they've kind of gone away from that run. They're more a pass-first, run-second team, as long as Roethlisberger can stand in there and throw. They have a good core of receivers.
Yeah.
I think the whole Mendenhall being out thing is going to kill the Steelers. I don't give them much of a chance right now. I know it's hard to say that because it is the Steelers, and they do come through in the playoffs all the time. But with Roethlisberger hurts, with his ankle still in question, and with Mendenhall out, I just don't see them making a push at it.
Well, you may be right. The thing is, I just remember the last time they relied on Roethlisberger's arm, they went to the Super Bowl, and he lost it essentially because of his arm. So we're going to see what happens, especially if he can't push off, if he's having some type of problem. They played a game, so we will see. And let's tell them what we think that's going to happen here. It's time to jump to deciding who are going to win the games this week. And the very first game that I'm thinking about is the Denver-Pittsburgh game. I'm going last, okay? I'm torn. I'll tell you why when my time comes.
I'm not torn at all. I, as much as I don't think Pittsburgh's going to go to the Super Bowl, I can't not pick them this week because Tebow has just not shown anything. He has gone downhill the past 3 weeks. He's just been playing horrible. You know, he's doing the Tebow, and he's just not picking his head up. I don't know what's going wrong with him, but he's just a different quarterback. He's had nothing going on with him lately, and the rest of the team just hasn't shown up at all. You know, when you get shut out by Kansas City, there's an issue. And Denver's defense is a lot better than Kansas City, so I think Pittsburgh's defense is better than Kansas City's. I think Pittsburgh's going to take this one easy.
Yeah, I'm going with Pittsburgh also. You know, Tebow's been facing better defensive teams the last couple of weeks, and this is the result. Now, he doesn't have any receivers, and if it wasn't for Willis McGahee, he'd have no offense at all. I think he had 60 yards passing last week, and he got like 20 of that on the last drive. You can't
go
6 for 20, you know, and 60 yards in an NFL game and expect to win.
That was very Chicago Bear-like, the quarterback position. I was torn just because I was trying to say whether or not they were going to beat Denver by 30 or 40 points or whether Tebow's going to be carried out of the stretcher, because if there's anybody that can stop him from running the ball, they're going to put a lick on his behind this week. So I think John Elway better go to the gym and get ready because he's got a lot of work ahead of him in the offseason.
He was 6 for 22 for 60 yards and an interception. And he was 6 for 16 running the ball. Willis McGahee had 145 yards, and that was it. That was the offense, Willis McGahee.
That's just plain scary.
One fumble and he lost. One fumble and one lost fumble he had. Yeah, he lost. So he had a fumble, a pick, and 60 yards passing. That's our high school quarterback if he had those numbers. I don't care if your father's here.
Cincy to Houston.
Oh, let's see. This one, got to go with Cincinnati. I think Andy Dalton is just going to come through. Houston, once again, their quarterback situation is up in the air. Yates, they say he could have gone last week. He's supposed to go this week, but I don't know what's going on with him. I don't. If he goes down again, I don't have any faith in anybody. And Andy Dalton to A.C. Green is just, or not A.C. Green, but what's his name? I don't know his last name. Green.
A.J. Green.
Green.
Yeah.
I'm thinking A.C. Green from back in the Laker days, the 80s. But the Dalton to Green combination and Simpson, he's just got two good receivers. And if Cedric Benson can keep his head on his shoulders, the Bengals should dominate this game.
You know what? I have to say the same thing. I think since he's going to just, for the first time, act like they are something. They may not be, but at least in this game, they're going to win.
I'm going to go with Houston. Their defense is pretty good. They're at home. I think they'll keep Yates under control where he doesn't have to try and win the game. They'll just pound the ball with Foster and Tate. And hope to draw the defense up. And then Andre Johnson is back. Owen Daniels is healthy again. I think if they'll keep the passing route short and try and run. And since they're home, I'm gonna go with the Texans.
All right, there you have it. We have a split decision, which there's Brock Lesnar. You know, he's retired from the MMA. I just threw that in there because. Talk about, I don't know what I'm talking about because I'm not even going to discuss MMA today. That's for another day and another whatever else. But, I don't even know why I brought that up. Since it's pretty phenomenal, a guy that big. I mean, he tried professional football. What happened to him was he thinks he's back in the WWE. He must have not realized the MMA is for real. Atlanta at the Giants. I am taking the G-Men.
I'm taking the G-Men, too, for the one reason only. They're at home. Atlanta does not play. They're a dome team, and they do not play well on the road. They're not used to weather conditions. It is cold as hell in New Jersey right now, and the new Meadowlands Stadium will be rocking and rolling and cold and windy as it ever has been, and it is going to be a frigid affair, and Matty Ice will be an icicle.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Giants too, mainly because they're home. The Falcons scare me a little bit though, because if Ryan is on now, it seems like he's on one week and off the next week. He's been very inconsistent, but he's got. I mean, Tony Gonzalez is playing like the young Tony Gonzalez. Julio Jones, Roddy White, Turner woke up last week. The potential is there for them to score tons of points every week, but. Ryan has got to he's got to get on a more consistent basis. He's just too up and down. And I think they're home. I think the pass rush will put some pressure on him. And when he's pressured, he's a little bit shaky.
I have to play devil's advocate for a second. Could the Falcons could still be pissed off in their perception that the Saints ran it up on them too? So they may think, you know what, we need to see those boys again this season. So I'm just playing devil's advocate. They say that. Poster board material and things like that don't matter. Well, it could. I just thought I'd throw that in there, which leaves us with one more game. And that game would be New Orleans and Detroit. And I know this is a scary game for a whole bunch of reasons, okay? I mean, what if the Lions decide to act like they're back in Detroit on 8 Mile and decide to beat Drew Brees up? but I have to go absolutely with the Saints.
Yeah, the Saints.
Well, this is intriguing. This is the first time in NFL history 2,000-yard passing quarterbacks have faced each other in a playoff game.
Isn't that something?
So anything can happen. This is going to be a shootout. And I think this is my upset special of the week. I'm picking Detroit to win because their defense is a little bit better than the Saints.
I hear what you're saying, but I don't know what you're drinking. So.
They gave up 500 yards to the backup quarterback last week.
I will tell you this, flat out, I still believe the Saints are going to win the Super Bowl. I said it before, and I'm saying it again. I'm picking the Saints to win it all. And right at this point, I must ask you two, who are you thinking is going to win it all? Well, now, this isn't going to go on our blog. This is just so we can compare notes going into next week. But I believe that the Saints are going to win it all.
That's actually who I was going to pick. I was, earlier in the season on one of our shows, actually we discussed this, I had mentioned the Texans. And then I put the kiss of death on because the next week, or that week, that's when Matt Schaub got hurt. I thought if he stayed healthy, they would have had a good chance to win it. But the Saints, Breeze just can't be stopped now. And they can run, too. Chris Ivory, Pierre Thomas. And they have a million receivers they throw to. You can't just focus on Colston, because if you do, they go to Jimmy Graham, they go to Lance Moore. And then you got Meacham and Devery Henderson every once in a while come up. It's just every week it's somebody. Their defense is shaky. I don't think their defense is a championship defense, but and neither is the Packers. You know, the Packers have a horrible defense.
It seems like everyone had a horrible defense. The Bears were playing really, really well when let's not talk about them. We're talking about the playoffs, and they're not even sniffing the playoffs. Well, there's no use even bringing up that point. So the point is, so what's happening with you, Evil? I know in the back of your mind or the front of your mind someone is sticking out for you who you believe will win it all at this point, because next week it may be different.
No, my Super Bowl pick definitely will not be different next week, because I know there's a 100% guarantee that this team will not lose. And that's the Green Bay Packers. All roads to the Super Bowl run through Green Bay going from the NFC. And what's in Green Bay? A whole bunch of big defensive linemen that are putting a roadblock up and saying, stop, turn around, and take your asses back home. And that's exactly what's going to happen. The road to Green Bay is going to stop for every other team, and Green Bay is going to keep right on rolling.
Okay. I mean, I heard you say that. We've been fortunate this evening, too, guys. We actually have extra time. And I want you guys to take 2 or 3 minutes and talk about what's on your mind. And just have at it. Anyone want to – let's see. Should we drop a coin or
–
yeah.
Go for it, Ken.
TikTok. Okay.
You know what I thought was interesting? I kind of still don't understand all the excitement of the big fanfare, but this Winter Classic hockey game. I saw, like, the aerial view. You know, it looked nice. You know, Citizens Bank Park is filled. You got the rink going across the infield there. But I don't know if you noticed, I don't think there's a seat within 200 yards of the rink. So I kind of don't get the whole to sit out in the cold. And I've been to Citizens Bank Park for a Buffett show. And I was trying to picture, like, where I sat, as you know, and where the rink was located. And I wouldn't have been able to see anything. Not a hockey game. A baseball game is different because the field is big. That rink is sat right down in the middle of that field. And I wouldn't pay the money they were asking for them tickets to sit in the cold to, you know. I watched the game at home on TV in a nice warm house. and I saw everything. It was a good game.
Yeah.
It was a good, you know, a good hockey game. But I just don't get the excitement. Now, this happens every year. They put it in the baseball. They should put it in a football only stadium because of this. you could put it right down the center of the field, and at least you could see. But if you seen where that rink was located in relationship to the baseball field, there wasn't any part of that stadium in the seating area that was that close where you could really see, you know?
Right. Well, they were originally supposed to have the game in the link, but they changed it because when the NFL scheduled, when the NFL actually decided to play, they had to change it to Citizens Bank Park because there was a conflict because they needed 2 weeks to build the hockey arena, the hockey rink in the stadium, and there was no way they could have done that with the Eagles playing.
Yeah.
So that they were going to do it in the link, and that's what they're talking about for future. Like, for they're talking about doing that for the future. For instance, the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor is supposed to be like the 2012 game is supposed to be there, or 2013 or 14 or one of them. But they're talking about doing it in all stadiums like that now because they not only do they seat more than the standard baseball stadium, but it's more geared for a game like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I think it solved the problem in having it in Wrigley again because everybody knows the Cubs aren't going to the playoffs anytime soon. The stadium's in. In fact, they can start getting the rink together in friggin' April. But, yeah, I watched it. Oh, boy, Michigan must have done something.
Oh, my God. Is that for a first down? That was just a busted-ass, horrible play, fake field goal. The field goal kicker just tossed the ball up, bounced off the linebacker's head, and went right into the lineman's arms for Michigan.
Wow. My arm, we happy. That's all right. Well, the thing is, too, as we near the end of tonight's show, I want to say that it was a really tremendous year for Dreaded Sports Talk. It's kind of wonderful to be in our own place, and it seems like since we moved on our own and are going forward that there's just no clouds anymore. And that's all I have to say. It was cool in Key West show for a while and all of that, but you know what? There's no place like home, and home is right here. And I appreciate the time that everybody spent here at Ship to Shore Radio. We started our own sports network, and then we merged, and who knows what's going to be happening in the future. As the thing is, this show, I think, has come on its own. It's been coming on, and I just had a heck of a lot of fun, and I thank you both for that.
You're welcome. It's
my pleasure.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, that's the word. We have fun. Yeah, we're not worried about any walls coming down or anything.
No criminal mischief around here.
That's exactly right. But as we even had a whole 8 minutes left, going forward, we got to talk about baseball for about a couple of minutes each. Do you realize that spring training is less than 60 days away?
Yeah, I think the Twins report February 12th. They start playing games March 1st, I think, is the first exhibition games. The first two are usually against college teams. I know I saw the Red Sox schedule, and they're playing two college teams, and the Twins come in. Still some free agents out there, too. Cecil Fielder, I keep calling him Cecil, Prince Fielder is still out there.
Yeah, there's still a lot of marquee free agents out there. The free agent, well, the last couple of weeks has just been, there's been no movement in there. And there's going to be a lot of moves that are going to get made over the next month and a half or so coming into spring training. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with all the things that have happened in the offseason so far.
The Yankees have still been suspiciously quiet, if you notice. They've been very quiet. Andrew Jones and they re-signed Sabathia. He took them for a lot of money, but he had that clause in the contract. He could opt out. He hit him for another $25 million.
She's pretty
well,
One of the Steinbrenners, I forgot if it was Hal or Hank, has to actually. I misunderstood it. I thought he had to repay money. He actually never paid $600,000+ in taxes, so now he owes that to the IRS.
Oh, boy. Wow, that's a lot of dough. And the thing to talk about these salaries, some may not be familiar with, a lot of states have an entertainment tax, and every time some of the ball players play in certain states, they have to pay entertainment tax on their share, a portion for that game. Like you're going to California to play baseball, even they have to pay an entertainment tax. You guys know that?
No.
Yes.
I can tell you the entertainment tax is a pain in the butt. I mean, I actually got nabbed. I wasn't even, I made some decent money in Michigan. I only know that because I got a nice letter from the state of Michigan on entertainment tax. I said, really? An entertainment tax? I didn't even go to a strip club. And if anybody would care to write us a letter here at Dreaded Sports Talk, I would give you an address to do so, but people don't write letters anymore, and stamps went up, so we're not worried about it. So, but you can reach us on Facebook, Dreaded Sports Talk. We have our own page there, and also dreadedsportstalk.wordpress.com. And I wanted to mention, even though he's not here tonight, we are proud to be the godfathers for young Tyler Zinser, a.k.a. the Zen Man, as he brings us some nice moments. It's good to have him over here with us. Did you guys catch his pictures from the Heat game the other night?
I caught a couple of them and kind of dismissed them because it was the Heat.
Yeah. Just the fact that you have someone with youthful exuberance coming over, I mean, we can send them to any game pretty much. No, but, yeah, which, by the way, we didn't get our red stripe yet, by the way, from Angus. We're going to have to talk Angus into coming over one day to do, like, a guest appearance on the show or whatever, but we need to get our beard before he tries to do something this year, you know?
Yeah, I didn't get my Miller Lite either. You didn't get your red stripe, I didn't get my Miller Lite.
I guess I'll have to get it in April because I found out I'm definitely going down. So
nice.
We're going to, during a wedding. So I'm going to, I guess I should ship yours up. I guess I better get it while I'm there and hope I don't drink it.
Well, I'll be down there in April myself. I'll be down there the last week of April for the bed race. So
get out of town. Well, that's two of us who will be there. So, Ken, you care to call Continental Love?
Yeah.
We could have a Dreaded Sports Talk live from Key West. We could even use Kerry. Oh, no, wait.
Yeah, I'm going to be nice to him. Not. Oh, boy. Life has been so much better without him on my Facebook page. It's like it's shut up. How easy it is to get rid of mutts. All you do is hit the unfriend button, and it's like, see ya! I will say thank you to KeyWestShow.com, the domain, for the year that I paid for it so that it would be in existence and allowing us to do our shows while we decided what we already know, that we're better off on our own. And we're here at Ship to Shore Radio, which is going 24 hours eventually. We don't know when because we're not worried about it because we're on island time. And that means, hey, by the time you go to an island, we'll have time to consider when we really want to put all that work out. But thanks a lot for this. This is a Dreaded Sports Talk. So, to really, those for this coming year, what are you looking forward to the most in the sporting world? We'll start with you, Evil One.
I'm looking to see if the Rangers can actually come back and do something for a change. Because the last few years, they've shown signs. Now I'm talking hockey Rangers. They've shown signs of life and existence during the regular season, and come playoff time, they just completely collapse. Right now, they're having a great season. They're first in the conference, first in their division. They just won the Winter Classic, and they got a healthy team. They just got Staal back, and they got everyone healthy right now. So I'm hoping that they can actually make a serious run to the playoffs and give the New York fans something they haven't seen since '94. It's going to be a great thing coming up this year with hockey around this New York area.
What about you, Ken?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this stretch, not the stretch round, but the second half of the hockey season. usually in the past couple of years with the Rangers, you're coming down to the end of March, middle of March, and you're hoping they can squeak into that eighth spot. Now we're actually tops in the conference, you know, solidly in a playoff spot, obviously with the top spot. And this, I hope it could continue. They've been very lucky to stay injury-free. They have one of the best goaltenders, if not the best, in the league. And it would be nice to have some meaningful, exciting playoff hockey, you know, from them. It's been a while since it's been anything meaningful.
I'll tell you what's meaningful. We actually have ended this show just on time. Again, I will no longer be known as Captain Frank Andretta. I'm sure I am merely Frank Andretta. I am free. So are we. We appreciate everyone for listening, and we'll catch you guys next week.
Peace.
Listening to Ship to Shore Radio with Captain Frank Andretta.